want to talk about in the context of this fallen world that we're living in and this enemy that we have that does everything to kill, to steal, and to destroy. In this world, we see how evil advances and we see so much pain and suffering. And in the other side, we see how God came to send His Son to redeem humanity, to establish the church so that it can advance against this darkness. And in the midst of this world, there is so much pain and tribulation. I remember when I was in Ukraine, God gave me this scripture. And if you know Ukraine, they're currently in a war as well. A physical war. They are fighting a proxy war with Russia, which is not Lesotho. I think I shared it last time. You know, this is not Lesotho they're fighting with. This is Russia. Okay? This is Mr. Putin and the mighty Russian military machine that they are in conflict with, and they are not in denial about the reality of this conflict that they're facing. They're very aware of this conflict, and sometimes I fear as church, you know what? We are in denial. There's this war going on. There's this Satan that hates, that wants to destroy humanity, that has corrupted the world and is using the world to distract, to draw away from God as much as he possibly can, the ones that he loves so much. And so many times as church, we are in denial of the very fact that there's a war going on. We go on living our lives as if there's no battle. And sometimes in this world, we face so much of the evil and the disappointment and the pain and the suffering. We are confused. We are confused because I think we lack to understand the reality of this conflict and the world that we're living in. And it's in this context of going to Ukraine and spending some time there and just sharing with the Christians that God gave me this scripture, and I just felt the Lord said I must share it in the context of this as we continue in Revelation chapter 12 about this conflict and this victory that we have, because this is the amazing thing about this conflict that is raging. Its victory is already achieved. Its victory is already determined. It's already established for those who are in the church. But it is a victory that is not yet completed. It is achieved, but it still needs to be fulfilled. It's like reading a book the second time or watching a movie the third time when you know what the ending is. You know what's happening while you're watching this movie, and the hero is caught and is in great danger. There's something in your heart that is, it's going to be okay because this is MacGyver. He's like the lead player. This is a series. This is only episode 2. There's still another 14 episodes to go. He will not die. Relax. You know? And the reality that we face is almost similar to that. Yes, this is a battle that we're fighting. But you know what? The end is already secure. You must just fulfill it. You must just walk in it. The devil also knows that, so he wants as many as possible not to get there. So he tries many different ways to distract us from the reality of this battle, because it is when the church is rising up and advances that he will be defeated. And the longer the church is passive, the longer he will live. Because his end is determined. The guy that's going to lose is not God. It is the devil. That's it. And the devil and death and sin and everything that he brought into the world is going to be banished forever in a place called hell. With everyone who follows him. The demons and humanity. Those who follow Satan will go there. They will be removed for eternity. But the longer this battle rages, the longer he gets to live. So you must understand something about the devil. You must understand, I believe something that we as church globally misunderstand is this concept that we are waiting for God to return. The reality is, I think it's more accurate to say God is waiting for us so that he can return. There is the fullness that needs to be accomplished. And God in his wisdom decided he's going to use the church to accomplish that fullness. We are the church. I mean, we heard this powerful testimony about the kingdom and advancing the kingdom. That the kingdom needs to advance, and the kingdom only advances through people getting saved. And God is not coming back until the fullness has come in. God is not coming back until the bride is ready. God is not coming back until we have come into the fullness of what God has called us to. So God and heaven is waiting for the church to arise, to overcome, so that Christ can come and finish it with us. So we're in this dispensation of this battle raging, and the devil is playing for time. He's playing for time. The longer it takes for the church to rise up, the longer he gets to be free. The longer he gets to be on parole. He's like on parole. Judgment day is determined. But until the defense, until the persecution gets ready, that date gets postponed. And that date will continue to be postponed until the church rises up and takes the kingdom. So while we're waiting, and the devil is very clever, he knows this, so he plays with time. That's why he is so craftfully, skillfully distracts the church with so much stuff in this world. There's just so much stuff that distracts us, that keeps us busy, that prevents us from accomplishing what we have destined to do. So he plays for time. And while he's playing for time, evil continues. Pain, suffering, death, murder, disappointment, sickness, you can name it. It continues. It continues. And it's in this reality that we stand and we face so many times. In this world, we all have faced the reality of evil in this world. We've all faced tribulation. We've all faced pain and loss and suffering. We go through this because we live in enemy territory. We are not in our home. This is not our home country. I was sharing to somebody earlier about my three nationalities. I'm privileged. I have three nationalities. I've got a South African passport. I've got a British passport. But then I've got a heavenly passport. And guess what? You know what? Guess which one is more important? Guess which one determines who I am? Guess which one has my home? It's not here in South Africa. I'm fortunate we have a flat in London. It's a great place to have property now. We're fortunate my parents sold the farm and they want to bless us. And they're going to make a loan to us so that we can have a home here as well in South Africa. Or a house. But you know what? This is not home, is it? This is just like, you know, going to Mauritius for a week holiday. Or we went to Nisner now for a week. It's a nice place to be. It's nice. But this is not home. This is not where I live. This is not where I spend my time. This is not where I build my family. This is not where my dreams or my hopes are formed. This is just a place where I rest. I'm just passing through Nisner. It's nice to be here. It's nice to see all the nice stuff. But I don't live here. The reality is, as Christians, we also need to understand, you know, this life and everything in it is temporal. We're just passing through. Our life is beyond this dispensation. It's beyond this world. It is in eternity. And that is where we belong. That's why Scripture says we are strangers in this world. Have you read that before? We are strangers here. We don't belong here. The devil would want us to acclimatize here. He wants us to be comfortable here. He wants us to slow down. On our way to destiny, the devil will do everything in his power to slow us down with other stuff. Stuff of this world. Stuff that draws our attention and pleasure and occupation and concern and effort, and before we know it, we have very little time and effort and focus on eternity. And all that he's managed to do is to slow things down, because he cannot stop this. He can just slow it down. So it's in the context of this great reality that's going on, and in this world that we live in, and as Christians, as you stand, you realize, and that's the amazing thing about, if you read Revelation chapter 12, you can see every time the dragon gets more desperate. Every time he fails, he gets more desperate. And then he wages war, and then he persecutes, and then he sends a flood to destroy. And every time he tries to overcome, the reality also as Christians, when we start to wake up to our destiny, we also face the reality of this enemy more. Now make no mistake about it, whether you are aware of this enemy out there or not, he's out to kill you anyway. So even if you ignore him, he's going to kill you anyway. So you can either sit back and wait for him to come, or you can stand up and fight him. Now, the only place to fight him is in Christ. I mean, if you try to fight with the devil outside of the kingdom of God, kind of, you know, we know how that's going to end. But in the kingdom of God, we have this great privilege, because God has already made a way for us, you know. And that's the amazing thing about salvation that some people miss, is we're not just saved, we've been redeemed, we've been equipped, we've been empowered to finish the work. I mean, that's what God has called us. In his wisdom, he's decided, I'm going to use the very ones that you tried to destroy, I'm going to use them to crush your head. This what you're trying to do? Watch me. I will not just save them, I will redeem them. I will empower them. I will pour my spirit within them, and they will rise up. I'm not even going to do it. I'm going to raise them up, and they're going to destroy you. They're going to push your kingdom back until there's nothing left, and then I'm going to send my son to finish it off once and for all. That's the story and the history of humanity. Now, within the context of all that, I don't know, I got completely distracted, but here we go. John chapter 16, verse 33. I'm just so glad I'm on the winning side. I hope you are too. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says these things. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And this is such a powerful scripture. I only realized it as I studied it. I realized, but this is the last sentence that Jesus taught before his betrayal. After the sentence, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he went to the garden where he was betrayed. I mean, we know Jesus' last words, the Great Commission, after his resurrection, just before he went to heaven. We know this. But this is the last words of all his teachings before his death. This is almost the conclusion of everything that Jesus has taught. This is the last saying of Jesus before he prayed. And he said this, "These things I have said to you, or spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In other words, Jesus is saying, listen here, everything that I have told you, I've told you so that you may have peace in me. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've already finished it. I've already won it. I've overcome this world. And it is so interesting, this contradiction. Jesus speaks about these opposites. He speaks about peace and tribulation. He says, in the midst of your tribulation, there is peace. It's two opposites, isn't it? Peace and tribulation. And then he speaks about the places where you find these two opposites. The one is found in the world and the other one is found in Christ. God is saying, in this world, you will have tribulation. This is where you have tribulation. But where you find peace, which is the opposite of this tribulation, is found in me, in Christ. This is where you have it. So you have these two opposites, tribulation and peace, and it's found in two completely different places. The one is found in Christ and the other one is found in this world. In the midst of your tribulation, God is saying, you can have peace. And this is so powerful. In the midst of your circumstances, you can have peace. And then in John 14, he speaks about this peace. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, some people, when they hear about this cosmic war going on, they get afraid. And some people, when they look at the circumstances and the tribulation in this world, they get afraid. And they are troubled. I mean, if you switch on the TV and you listen to what's happening in this world, from ISIS to earthquakes to famine to poverty to corruption, you can name it. If you listen to what's going on to the world, it is natural to be afraid, to be troubled. But Jesus said, listen, in the midst of this world, in the midst of all the bad reports that you're hearing, in the midst of all the things that are going wrong, you can have peace. It's not found in the world, it is found in me. This peace that I'm talking about is not the peace of the world. It's not the peace that the world gives. This is a peace that I give. This peace will cause you not to be afraid nor to be troubled. It's like Peter that walked on water. Remember the story? I mean, who can remember? What happened there? Are you shy? There was a storm, wasn't there? It was in the middle of the night. And the disciples were afraid. They were terrified. And then they saw this something walking on water. They were even more afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And then the ghost spoke to them. And Peter recognized, oh, it's Jesus. But we don't know Jesus like this. Jesus is walking on water. This is impossible. And then what did Jesus do? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. Jesus speaks to Peter. I mean, Peter is afraid, he's terrified, and he recognizes Jesus' voice when Jesus says, what did Jesus say? Do not be afraid. Do not fear. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of your uncertainty, in the midst of everything that is screaming at you, do not be afraid. And then Peter responded and said, Lord, but if it's you, tell me to come to you. And then Jesus spoke again. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. And then Jesus spoke to Peter. And what did he say? Come. Come to me. Come to me. Because in me you will have peace. So God spoke to man. God spoke to Peter. And you know what? That's so amazing about God. Jesus said in John 16, these things I've spoken to you. You know what's the powerful thing about the Word of God? It has the power to create, to establish, to bring forth life, to make the impossible possible. In the beginning there was nothing, and God spoke, let there be light. And it was. Let there be life. And there was. God speaks to Peter. Walk on water. And what happened? Peter did the impossible. Is it because Peter was great? No. Peter was a human just like me and you. What was the difference there is, God spoke to Peter. And because God spoke, he empowered Peter to do the impossible. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know what Peter did? He responded to what God said. He had faith in what God said. He had faith in who God is. And he got out of the boat. And he walked all the way to where Jesus was. As a matter of fact, you know what I always say, you know, it took great faith for Peter as a fisherman to step out of the boat. Because he knew, I mean, as a fisherman. Any of you walked on water before? Any of you fishermen here? Okay, we know that's not possible. So Peter, responding to the word of God, stood up, got out of the boat, and stood on water. And then Peter walked. And he walked, as a matter of fact, quite a while. And I'll show you why. Because when he started to sink, remember what happened? Something happened and he started to sink. And then he cried out, "Lord, save me." And what did Jesus do? He stretched out his hand. So where was Peter? He was right where Jesus was. So Peter not just got out of the boat, he walked all the way to where Jesus was, but then something happened. What happened? He started to look at his circumstances. He took his eyes off Christ, and he started to look to the world around him. He started to look at the fact that there was a strong wind blowing, and it's the middle of the night, and he is standing on water. And he got afraid. He got afraid. And because he took his eyes off Christ and he started to look at the circumstances, he started to doubt. And then he started to sink. You know, the power of God's word is only as effective as our faith holds on to it. God's word is the ability to do the impossible. Make the impossible possible, but only as far as your faith allows it to. If you do not believe what God says, if you do not believe in Him and what He says, and have a relationship with Him, don't think that the promises of God is going to continue in your life. Peter realized that as he was looking around him and he started to sink, and then he cried out and he said, "Lord, save me." Amazing thing is, Jesus' response was not, "You unbelieving fool. You deserve to drown. May this be a lesson to you. You should not have doubted. Therefore, I am not going to save you because of your unbelief." Now, in the midst of Peter sinking, he cried out, "Lord, save me. I'm sinking here." And Jesus stretched out his hand. This morning the word was, listen, your God is your rock. You might feel far away from you. You might feel as if you are sinking, but I am here with you. I haven't left you. Your faith has maybe left you. Your faith in me maybe has left you. You've maybe turned away from me, but I am still right here. I'm still at the same place that I called you from. And all God is saying is, just call out to me. All you need to do is turn around and say, "Lord, save me." And the amazing thing is, God says, "I will pick you up. I will hold you up. And I will walk you back to this boat." And as we get into the boat, you know what happened to the storm? It was gone. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me," it's not in the words themselves, but it is in me. How do we find this peace? This peace is found in Christ. How do we find this place in Christ where the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds, will rule in our lives, where we are not troubled nor afraid? How do we find this? Is through the words that he has spoken. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but in Christ you will have peace. This peace is not found in the world. It is not by listening to this world. It is not by reading the newspapers and listening to TV. There's a lot of reasons out there to fear. This peace that God is speaking about is not in the world. It is God, after all that said. And that's the amazing thing. Sometimes we try to find security and peace in the midst of our circumstances in what the world says. We go through a financial crisis or a political crisis or uncertainty and unsurety and so many things that grasp our hearts and our minds, and we look to the world for advice. We look to our pension fund and our investments and our securities and our careers and our contacts and our relationships to find some form of security and peace. And it's not there that you'll find it. The only thing you're going to find in this world is tribulation. You're going to find more of that. That's not where you're going to find your peace. God says it is in me. After all, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, I love Hebrews 13 that summarizes it so beautifully. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. In other words, do not covet what the world has to give you. Do not desire, shape your life around pursuing the things in the world. But be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Isn't that powerful? And then Romans 8, he says, and we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. I mean, isn't that powerful? You know what God is saying? Look, in the midst of all this tribulation that you will have in this world, in me, you will have peace. Because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am your helper and your shield. There is nothing that man can do for you. Romans 8 continues to saying, listen here, who shall we fear in response to this? When God says, I will work all things for your good. Doesn't matter what you are going through in this world. There are two things that you can be secure of, certain of. God will never leave you through your tribulation. It doesn't matter what you're going through in this life. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm there right with you. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. I am going to turn it for your good. I'm going to turn it. This world is not my desire or design. I'm coming back to change everything. But in the meantime, while you're going through this, know this. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And I will turn it for your good. And that's the amazing thing about living a long life. I love the gray hairs here. And you can ask them about their tribulations. You can ask them. But you know what's the amazing thing is? They are still here. And they can testify of God's goodness. Despite everything that they've gone through, all the suffering, all the deepest, the darkest moments, they will all tell you how God managed to turn it for their good. And that's what I love about the golden youth. They are walking monuments of God's faithfulness. You know what? And life has this tendency to bring trials and tribulations consistently because the devil is out there to kill, to steal, and destroy. But God says, don't worry. I've already overcome him. Don't worry about him. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. And no matter what you're going through, I'm going to turn it for your good. Just keep your eyes on me. Just keep on walking. Don't look to your circumstance. Don't look to the storm. Look to me. I am the one that says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm the one that says, I'm going to turn it for your good. So stop worrying. Stop fear. Stop being so troubled. Look to me. There's something amazing when you do that. In the midst of the storm, you can walk on water and not be afraid. Peace is not found in ourselves either. So many people try to find peace in themselves. I was 2 weekends ago did a marriage course and seminar, and I also facilitated a small group, and there was an atheist in our midst, and he was speaking about this peace that he found within himself. And he was trying to explain about this peace, but the more he's trying to explain about this peace that he's found in himself, I see he's not at peace. Because you can't find peace in yourself either. Christ doesn't say, be of good cheer, you have overcome the world. Christ says, I have overcome the world. Your source of peace is not your own strength and ability, it's in mine. I'm the one that overcome the world. It is in Him, not in this world, not in myself. It is in a relationship with Him that we have peace. It's in that relationship that we have peace. Not in our own ability, but in His ability. And in our relationship with Him that we find this peace. So how do we find this? The things that I have taught you, the things that I have said, these things I have spoken to you, that you may have pride. Christ does not say you have peace. That's not what He's saying. I don't know if you've noticed that. He didn't say, be of good cheer, you have peace. He says, no, these things I have spoken to you so that you may have peace. So that in me you may have peace. I've spoken these things so that it may be possible for you to have peace. It's not that we have this peace automatically. No, God says, I've spoken all these things. I've taught you all these things so that it may be possible for you in me to have peace. It is through these things that I've spoken and given you that you will find this peace that surpasses all understanding, that will reign in your God, in your heart, in your mind, and that will cause you not to be troubled or afraid. It is in that what I have spoken to you that you will find it. In John 14, Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Isn't that powerful? These things are spoken to you so that it is possible for you to know me and to have peace in this relationship. This is the things that I've said. This is the things that I've taught. And if you keep them, this will lead you, not just to me, but this peace that I'm speaking of. If in John 15, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, so many times we live in this world where we think we have everything, and we don't need to pursue God anymore. It's like God has established something and all of a sudden we don't have to do anything anymore. It's like a free handout. No, this is not a handout. This is a relationship. God is saying, listen, yeah, these things I've spoken to you that you may have it. It's not automatic. You can have it, but you've got to follow me. This is in me. It's not in my words. It's not even in salvation itself. It's in a relationship with me. It's in a relationship. That's why the word says, you know, many in the last days will turn from the faith, because they will be running after other stuff, after their own desires and over other teachings and philosophies, and they will lose their salvation, because it's not about the day you gave your life to Christ, it's about the continuous relationship you have with Christ. It's a relationship. It's not a ticket. It's a relationship. And that's why God is saying, all these things I've said to you that in me you may have peace. So it's in that relationship. So where do you go for your peace? Whose commandments do you follow? Whose example and counsel do you treasure in this world? Because in this world there are many commandments, there are many teachings, there are many philosophies, there are many self-help books out there. I spoke to a friend of mine who read a book about the opposite of self-help. He says there's just so many self-help books. What about the us-help books? Because it's not really about me only. But everybody wants a self-help book where I'm the center of the help. How about writing a book about how can we help others? But anyway, I mustn't get distracted. But whose commandments do you follow? Whose example and counsel do you treasure? When the storm rages around you, when the devil is out to destroy you, when circumstances and the pressure of this world is just so much upon you, who do you go to? Where do you find your peace? Well, God is making this invitation and He's saying, listen, in this world, you will not find it. What you will find in this world is tribulation. But in me, you will have peace. And how do we do that? We choose. We make a decision to put our faith in who He is and in what He says. We choose to follow His counsel and not that of the world. And you know what is so amazing is when you choose to put your faith in who God is and in what He says and in what He promises, something hard to explain happens. It's not denial. There is a boldness. There is a determination. There is a peace that comes upon you in the midst of your circumstances that cannot be shaken. And I've seen it in my own life as I've gone through so many stuff, and I'm sure so many of you can testify of that. There's something powerful that happens in a storm with or without God. There is this major difference between going through a storm and being in a storm with God and without God. And the difference is clearly seen in how you steer your boat. How you deal with the circumstances, how you deal with the wind, how you deal with the waves, how you deal with the fact that you're standing on water. Because if you put your faith in Him, if you choose to trust Him, if you choose to trust what He has done, not only does the peace of God fill your heart, but the God of peace fills your life. It's not just that the storm is stilled. No, that doesn't always happen. God never promised us He will still all our storms. He said, I will never leave you forsake. I will be in your boat. You can go through the worst storm. As long as Jesus is in your boat, you're going to be okay. Remember that story? The disciples with Jesus in the boat, going through a storm, and they were so afraid because everything was going so bad. And they woke Him up and said, Lord, do you not care that we are about to die? And Jesus responds to them as, why are you afraid? I'm in your boat. And He stood up and He stilled the storm. The purpose of that, I don't think, was to show them that I can still the storm. The purpose of that was, hey, I'm with you in the boat. Why are you afraid? And that's the amazing thing, is when you choose in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your storm, you choose to put your faith in who God is and in what He says, you bring Him into your boat. And I can guarantee you, if Christ is in your boat, you will not sink. And even if your boat would sink, you will not drown, because He's there with you. If you go through a storm and He's not in your boat, be afraid. Be very afraid. But if He's in your boat, don't be afraid. This is the God who has the power to create anything. He can make you walk on water. So don't be afraid, even if your ship sinks. You're not going to drown. Why? Because He loves you. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you're going through a storm, put your faith in God. Turn to God. Do not look to this world. Do not listen to this world. Do not follow this world. Seek Jesus. Do not seek the advice of the world. And I'm not saying do not be wise. Do not be prudent. Do not strategize. I'm not saying that. I'm saying in the midst of all your fears and all your confusion, in the midst of the fear that is gripping you, what you need is not your banker's assurance. What you need is God's assurance. In the midst of everything that you're going through, you can call out to God and say, God, help me. I need to see you. I need to hear you, God. I need to have you. God, I choose to put my faith, not in my circumstances, not in the quality of this boat that I'm in. I'm choosing to put my faith in you. I'm choosing to believe what you are saying. And the amazing thing is when you do, something is going to happen in your heart. That is not necessarily going to change the storm, but it's going to change your ability to go through the storm. It's going to change your ability to go through the storm. And if that means you need to walk on water, God will make you walk on water. If it needs be that the storm needs to be stilled, God will still the storm. But it will only happen if you choose to believe in Him. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us your Son so that we may have peace. God, in the midst of this sinful, broken world, Lord, with all the wrong and the evil that is so prevalent, Lord, we want to thank you, Father, that in the midst of this great storm in which we were sinking, God, you send your Son so that we may have peace. God, and I know some people are here this morning, Lord, that you are speaking to specifically that are going through a storm. And that circumstances and wind and waves and boats being filled with water and ships sinking and people jumping off and all kinds of things are going on, Lord, and they are crying out in fear. Lord, you are speaking to them and you're saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I have already overcome the world. There is nothing in this world that can separate you from me. And in me, you will find your peace. In me, you'll find that place of complete wholeness, complete rest, complete security, complete fulfillment, complete prosperity, complete wholeness and wellness and fullness is found in me. That what the world is running after is not found in the world. It's only found in me. And Father, I want to pray for each and every person here this morning. If you are going through a storm, if you're going through a difficult time, and you are afraid, I believe God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you and say, in me, you can have peace. And if that is you this morning, I just want you to respond by just raising your hand. If you're going through that storm and you need peace, you need peace in your storm, I just want you to respond. Just where you are, you can just raise your hand. Father, I want to thank you for these hands. Father God, I want to thank you for these people, Lord, the people that you love so much, Lord. You see the storms that they're going through. You see the storms that you're going through, and all you want to say to them is, my son, my daughter, do not be afraid. Be of good cheer. I have already overcome the storm that you are facing. I've overcome the world and everything in it, and there is nothing that can separate you from my love. Just keep your eyes on me. Do not lose your focus on me. Keep watching me. Put your faith in my words. And if that is you, if you've raised your hand, I want to really pray with you. I want to really trust that God will come and impart faith in your heart. Faith in your heart. We're going to pray for your faith, and we're going to pray for your storm, and we're going to pray that God would speak to you in the midst of your storm. And whether that is to make you walk on water, or whether it is to still the storm, or to multiply your two fishes and your five loaves, I don't know what God wants to do, but I really want to pray with you. So if you've raised your hand, I just want you to quickly come forward. Just in response, if you need that peace, if you've raised your hand, I want you to come forward and we want to minister to you. So I want to give you an opportunity. If you've raised your hand, if you're going through that storm, you need God to speak to you. You need God's guidance. You need to see Him. You need to hear Him. You maybe even need just the faith. Maybe you just need faith in the midst of the storm. Maybe you're like Peter that's already sinking and you're saying, Lord, help me. I'm sinking already. I've lost faith already, Lord, but I pray that you will save me. If that is you, I want you to also come. I want to pray with you. And then there's some people here this morning. You do not know this Jesus that we're talking about. We're talking about this God that says, I not just know you, I love you. And maybe you're feeling far away from this God, like was shared earlier this morning. Maybe you do not know about this God. Maybe you know a lot about Him, but you do not know who He is. You do not know Him. You've heard so many things about this God. You've heard so many sermons about Jesus, but you've never experienced this peace that surpasses all understanding, this relationship, this knowing of a real person that loves you, that speaks to you, that comforts you, that directs to you, that gives you wisdom and insight and direction and makes life a journey of adventure, of hope, of security. If that is you and you want to know this Jesus, you want to surrender your life to Him, I want to give you an opportunity to do this today, because you can know this God that will guide you through no matter what you go through, and you will never need to be afraid again. You will never need to be alone again, because He's never going to leave you. If that is you, you want to surrender your life, I want to give you an opportunity just to do that this morning by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to surrender my life to you. Maybe you are here and you're like Peter and you've lost your faith. God is speaking to you this morning. Maybe you're one of those people that was spoken to you earlier and God is saying, I'm closer to you than you think. But it's time to return to me. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. Because we want to pray for you. It's as simple as that. You just need to respond to God. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. And then there's some people here that I also want to pray for. And that is those who are simply struggling. You are struggling to hear God's voice. You have faith in Him. You believe Him. But you're struggling to hear Him right now. Going through a difficult time. Maybe you're standing here already in the front. But if there's anybody like that, you want to hear Him speak to you. You need Him to speak to you. There's somebody here I sense God is. You are seeking God to hear His voice. And God really wants to open your ears this morning. I really believe we want to pray for you also. If that is you, please come forward. We want to pray. Is there anybody like that? Is there anybody else? No, God, you've been calling out to God just to hear His voice. And you're struggling to hear Him. I'm going to ask the ushers. You can hand out the elements of communion. We're going to minister. We're going to take this time, each and every one of us, as we are seated here, just to commit ourselves again to what God has given us through His Son. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And as we partake in communion, we're going to share together, we're going to pray together, we're going to wait for one another. We're going to take these elements, and while we're waiting, while we're ministering, I want you to think of things to be thankful for. Franz shared earlier about the things we can be thankful for. So as we take the cup and the bread, I'm going to ask the ushers to quickly come forward. Can someone help to hand out the elements? While you're waiting, while we're praying, I want you to think of things to be thankful for. And then to thank God for them. Thank God for His provision. Thank God for His faithfulness. Thank God for the monuments. Thank God for the storms that you've been through. Thank God for the health that you have. Thank God for the future that He promises. And then we're going to partake in this provision that He has made us through His Son. Of the rest of the ushers, if you can help to pray for us, the leaders as well.